This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
And I say, hey, what a wonderful kind of day. If you could learn to work and play and get along with each other.
Welcome, everybody, to Wednesday War Games episode number 49. Joining me, as always, is my wonderful co-host, Liam Jones. Liam, tell me about Wrestle Kingdom 9.
Oh, Wrestle Kingdom 9. The one I booked?
No, the one you said you want to talk about on this podcast. It was 9. 9 is 2015.
I didn't watch it because you said you weren't going to watch it. I watched the VTR for Nakamura and Ibushi. That's a 5-star VTR. Now, do you want to go on your diatribe about VTRs being named that?
Oh, well, yes, VTR is a videotape recording, I believe, is actually what VTR stands for. It goes back to the olden days of TV and, like, instant replay when they're, like, roll the VTR and they put a video of the instant replay or whatever into the video machine and roll it on the air. And that's where the term VTR comes from. We still use it for, like, any pre-produced package. It's like, oh, roll VTR. Because nearly all of those packages are not put on tape these days. Maybe they aren't still in Japan. Maybe it's an antiquated system where they still use tape. But, yeah, that's a fun little anachronism where the word has hung around and formed a different meaning, which I always think is quite cool.
I learned that in my year 12 media studies class.
There you go.
Wait, this isn't going to turn into a film study podcast eventually.
Where we're going to comment on the cinematography of WWE.
Yeah. And the Fiend rising up here symbolizes his rise from the mid card.
Ah.
Mmm.
But you see, we agreed on a system, though. You were going to watch it. I wasn't going to watch it. You were going to tell me all about it, and I was going to react to you in my professional podcast voice, like this. Professional.
I thought you were going to do a reaction.
Whoa, that... What was the main event of that show?
Tanahashi Okada.
That Okada-Tanahashi match was fantastic. Is that the one where Okada finally won?
I think it's the one where he cried.
Oh, it's the one where he lost and cried. That's good. I was at the Wrestle Kingdom the year before. I could talk to you about that in with great detail. In person at Wrestle Kingdom 8.
It made me sad.
When Finn Balor, who is on NXT, which we could use as a segue, but who needs to talk about these shows, he was on that show. He wrestled Kota Ibushi for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship.
That was my first live New Japan show, I think.
Naito was broken because the fans dumped him down into the semi-main event in a fan poll. It's always fun.
And then Okada and Naito had their best match for another 5 years in the semi-main.
Yeah, I like that match a lot. People didn't love that match. And then Nakamura and Tanahashi had their standard main event, which is
I like
good
that match,
upgrade.
But that was because New Japan was very new to me still. So I wasn't tired of Nakamura and Tanahashi doing that match.
Also got an Ishii Shibata match.
And that match was was it Ishii Shibata or was it Ishii Goto? I mean, Shibata Goto. It was Shibata Goto, I'm pretty sure.
Shibata Goto, yeah.
And that was the blowaway match. I remember everyone came out of that, not really talking about the other three big matches, but talking about Goto and Shibata. Yeah. And I fell asleep during it because it was on at 11 and I was a young boy.
A wee lad. I forgot, Big Tom wasn't on that show, was he?
He was probably on the pre-show gimmick.
No, the pre-show gimmick was, as I look it up, Bushi, Captain New Japan, Hiroshi Tenzan, and
Hiroshi Tanahashi.
Yes. Against Liger Nakanishi, Super Strong Machine, and Yohei Komatsu.
Ah.
Yo got on the show, but Tomohiro Ishii didn't. What a travesty. Big Tom has been robbed. He should win. If we don't give Tom Wrestler of the Year this year, we're not that many people actually have a case, and he's probably still the best wrestler in the world. It's a travesty. Just give it to Tom. The poor guy has been Wrestler of the Year for 7 years straight, and he's never been given the recognition he deserves. This is the Big Tom Ishii fan podcast. If you vote in the Wrestling Observer Awards, vote for Tom Ishii as what is it most outstanding? Is the one that doesn't include drawing?
Yeah, that's the pure in ring one.
What are people going to vote for the Thez Flair, given most of the buildings were empty and it's all the pandemic?
I guess just all you can really vote for is Naito, because he sold out one and almost sold out a second dome in 2 days.
Who says Okada didn't sell out those domes?
Okada's washed.
Oh, sorry, I forgot about that.
As a draw. As a wrestler, he's still the exact same, but he's washed as a draw. That's my stance.
Big Togi Makabe gets Bad Luck Fale match. King of Destroyer match.
Yeah, I was going to say that was a King of Destroyer match.
which was the last man standing match, but it's a King of Destroyer.
Oh, bad so luck fail.
Sakuraba and Yuji Nagata against Daniel and Rolls Gracie. What a match to see live in person at Wrestle Kingdom.
Was it Wrestle Kingdom 9 that had Sakuraba Suzuki?
Yes, because it was the year before really that had Sakuraba Nakamura, wasn't it?
Oh, and Sakuraba Nakamura. Like, I love Nakamura Sakuraba as much as I love Nakamura Ibushi.
It's a very different and very good match.
Mm. Big match Sakuraba. That's what I go through these phases where I just keep, like, not forgetting that he exists, but, like, remembering how much I love him, and then going back and watching his stuff.
Great Muta and Toru Yano against Minoru Suzuki and Shelton X Benjamin.
Yeah, and then they had the TMDK boys in the next one.
Mm-hmm. Satoshi Kojima against Rob Conway, in which the Japanese fans around us were surprised that we were booing Rob Conway, because they probably assumed it's like, you like the white guy, right? It's like, no.
Is that, no, Ken's not there yet.
Yeah. Bullet Club against the Killer Elite Squad.
Hell yeah. Guns and Gallows, I assume?
Yes. With Tama Tonga. And Young Bucks against Forever Hooligans against Suzuki Gun's team of Taichi and Takuya.
Those matches were always good.
Splitters. It was also the first time I think Kushida did the Back to the Future entrance. So there you go.
There you go.
This was also the show where everyone had those big entrances. Like Finn came out of the coffin.
That was the best, man. And KES had the bikes.
Yeah, so that was the year where they went like full spectacle, and it was great.
They need to bring that back, and Nakamura had the best Wrestle Kingdom entrance of all time.
Mm. And Tanahashi was placed at the ring by the guitarist of, was it?
Dragon Force.
Dragon Force, same thing. They're all the same.
I think it was Dragon Force.
So yeah, there's my experiences at Wrestle Kingdom, where we went without getting tickets, because you couldn't buy tickets online then, so we had to queue the day of the show to get tickets, and that was very stressful. We still got, like, floor seats, so it wasn't that bad. They were right at the back of the floor. It's literally, the last row before the stage.
Did you cheer Big side. Finn? Did you have an Irish flag waving it in the air?
I did not have an Irish flag, but of course we cheered for our prince. Our prinks.
I remember I miss the prinks. He would have been world champ. He would have been world champ had he not left, right? Like, he would have just had AJ's belt.
Yeah, he would have been the AJ champ, yeah.
Well, wasn't that story at the time? Like, he was like, dude, guys, I want to stay, but I need more than a one-year deal.
Yeah, that one-year deal culture, which, evaporated because the wrestlers kept getting poached. It was madness. I get it was, like, traditional, but, like, when you're on the world stage now and competing with WWE, and WWE are, like, looking at you as a source of talent, you cannot sign guys to one-year deals. You put yourself in a horrible position of, like, anti-leverage against your talent.
Having them all, like, come up at the same time every year. You're just giving WWE the pick of the litter.
January 5th, everybody's contract comes up at the same time. It's like, what are you doing?
That's right, I will now contact all of your champions.
So, speaking of the pranks, NXT won last week, so we shall talk about WWE NXT this week.
I forgot that NXT won last week.
There you go. See, I keep track of our podcast, Laura. The anniversary episode is next. Actually, technically, the anniversary is tomorrow, as we record. I assume this will get uploaded today, so tomorrow as we record this.
What are we going to do for the anniversary?
I will keep track. We will crown the year one winner, and then maybe we'll pick match of the thing. So
match
from
of the
all
year
the
one,
yeah, match of the year from all the matches that we picked as match of the week, we will choose our match of the year, and then we will tally up who won how many weeks. Which AEW won the overall? I don't think that's going to be a surprise. But what will the number be? That's the question.
Ooh, what will the percentage be to NXT? Will it look like one of our polls?
Yeah, so the next week we're reflecting the real one-year anniversary of Dynamite. Get out of here, Chris Jericho. We don't celebrate your career.
You and Luther.
I'm actually kind of upset they're not doing a singles match, but we'll talk about that when we get to
also,
NXT.
Also, why isn't... What, like, come on, Lance. You can't come out and, like, take Hager's spot or something.
Nice little Thrill Seekers reunion.
Well, like, even, like, Lance versus Jericho, like, you really can't... Like, wasn't that always, like, the thing he talked about for his 30th anniversary? He wanted to, like, rent out a giant, like, arena in Canada and do him versus Lance one more time?
Well, you can't rent the arena these days.
You can still do it on television, damn it.
So, Ken Lance is in Canada, so he might not be able to get into the country.
He can pull some tricks, I'm sure.
TK can fly him in on his illegal
Big
plane.
Big TK can do whatever he wants.
See TK getting buried by the football media? It was great fun.
I did, because you sent it to me. Why would you say that as if I wouldn't know?
because you don't generally look at things I send you. This is calling back to last week where you ignore things I send you.
And made yourself look like the bad guy in the, while complaining about me being a bad guy.
Again, I babyface you by being the heel. It's Bully Ray level heel work. Do you know who I am?
Hell yes.
But yeah, it's very, very amusing. He was called a clown on television by Jamie Carragher. It's like TK.
So what, like, what is their problem with TK? Like, he's just a gotten to internet man?
Yeah, because he's tweeting out, because they lost 3-0 at home to Aston Villa, and they've been very bad, and they're probably going to be relegated again after coming up. And he was on Twitter being like, oh, we couldn't sign defenders because of X, Y, and Z. And then he replied to somebody being like, if I told you when we took over that we'd be a yo-yo club who got relegated and promoted every second year, you should be happy with that. And Jamie Carragher was not having it and called him a clown. Because, like that's... football just doesn't do that. Like, no football manager does business on Twitter, never mind even the owners.
Well,
so
like,
it's very
stuff...
out of...
Sorry, I was just going to say, like, from, like, my perspective of, like, the sports that I follow, like, I would be surprised for, like, them to at someone and go, now be happy with the results.
That just doesn't happen in sport. It doesn't, like any sport. And yeah, he was buried on television for being a gotten to nerd who should shut his mouth.
But we also love him, and if he wants his wrestling shows to be better, to get in contact with us.
We can book AEW Lightning.
Oh, we would kill AEW Lightning. It would be the best.
Shotzi Blackheart defeated Dakota Kai after hitting the nastiest looking slice bird in the apron of all time.
And by that you mean hitting herself with the nastiest looking slice bird of all time.
Because I didn't see NXT and I saw the gif of it and I was like, oh, that's a gnarly back suplex on the apron. And then as like, I looked closer, it's like, oh, wait a minute. She's doing a sliced bread. Yeah. She dropped herself on her head.
Yeah, it took a minute. Like, she was really lucky that she didn't just forehead into it.
It's like that time Coda took the thing on the apron and his neck just like went horribly
Will.
To the side.
Will did that too when he was wrestling Marty. He like did the backflip or whatever and his neck was like horizontal.
Neck bumps on aprons, probably never a great idea. But yeah, she didn't get the full rotation of the slice bread and landed head first. It was great fun. Not a thing you should do. Don't do it.
The second time Shotzi has almost died on NXT TV.
Listen, if you're going to be the tank woman, welcome to the ball pit. The ball pit
like
is apparently
no,
nearly dying.
Stupid, I hate the ball pit.
See, she bought a bunch of balls.
Did she? I forgot this. I didn't see this.
She was tweeting pictures of... She literally bought a bunch of balls, and she has like thousands of balls in her house now. I'm not sure. Is she building an actual ball pit?
I appreciate her living the gimmick, though.
Yeah, that would be truthful to the character, and I would appreciate that.
Rhea looked like a real dummy.
Why?
She came out and she like shoved Raquel and was like, yeah, and then like got dragged back. It just didn't look very tough.
Is that match isn't currently on TakeOver yet, is it?
I don't think it's a TakeOver match. I think it's going to be one of those.
I'm so upset.
Matches.
This is the second time in a row they've built up Rhea Ripley TakeOver matches that I'm actually interested in, and they haven't done them. Who needs Kushida against Velveteen Dream?
It's like NXT loves doing this thing where they'll just build up rivalries right before NXT and then pay them off the week after TakeOver.
Because, and like, look at this show. Like, Io Candice was made last week. Damian Priest against Johnny Gargano has barely even been a feud. It's just like they're like, Johnny is number one contender now. Santos Escobar against Swerve. Fair enough, that's been built up. Kushida and Dream, who cares? Kyle O'Reilly became number one contender last week. So they have this one match that they've been building since the last TakeOver, you know, Rhea Ripley against Raquel Gonzalez. And everyone's kind of like, whoa, Rhea Ripley's doing well lately. This is a cool match. Two monsters collide. That's a cool take. No, can't give us it on TakeOver for some bizarre reason.
Yeah. it's very indicative of the NXT booking style, isn't it?
Speaking of the Scott and Phantasma match, they had a sit-down interview. They were very mad at each other. Is Phantasma for or against tradition? Because it seems to vary.
I feel like... I think the idea is that he's a hypocrite.
All right.
And it's like, he's like, I'm doing it for tradition, and then, like, completely shunning tradition at the same time.
We don't like them hypocrites here, do we?
No, we're not... we're anti-hypocrite.
We would never be hypocrites.
No, never. Not once, ever. I liked this kind of, like, they stole the, like, UFC face-to-face style that they do nowadays, where they both, like, give them mics and just ask them questions. But I thought it was a little long-winded.
And it didn't have, like, that, you know, a couple of punchy lines. You know, you want a couple punchy lines.
The problem is, like, I think you don't have, like, you know, a Connor in there or someone, like, who's just going off and making it entertaining. He had two, like, kind of guys who were just trying to cut wrestling promos.
Not even good wrestling promos either, though. Good wrestling promos, it would have worked. But
I feel like Balor and O'Reilly should have got this spot.
Yeah, instead of the weird in-ring thing.
Yeah. Because, like, I feel like theirs would have been a lot more... Because, you know, Kyle's got some wit and Balor can obviously do the pew-pews. So, I think it just would have been a better fit.
I saw the vignette this week for the person returning. They're in a biker, night vision goggles. Is it Randy Orton? There's night vision goggles. It might be Randy Orton.
Oh my god. Well, I think it's a female now.
There's speculation it might be Ember Moon.
Isn't she like gone forever though?
I thought she like super broke her knees.
I thought and she then like had very, retired.
And then had a very hard time putting her knees back together. So
yeah. I don't know. I mean, Ember would be cool. They need like a woman star.
Chelsea Green, maybe?
Pardon? You broke up.
Chelsea Green?
You broke up again as you said the name.
Chelsea Green, maybe?
Nope.
Okay.
The hacker stopped you every time you tried to say their name.
Just no one wants me to say the word Chelsea Green.
Ah, there we go. No.
I should have went for Laurel Van Ness. Then
yeah, that would have made it. Oh, LVN.
Yeah.
I don't think it's her. That'd be a very weird character change for her.
Well, she was the drunk, crazy woman in TNA. It's not like there's not weird character twists on her table for her.
I guess, but also, like, cool bike assassin seems a bit of a stretch.
I'm just trying to think of women who haven't been on TV who are under contract, Liam. Jeez, I'm doing my best.
To me, it seems like it's a main roster woman coming.
Call down.
Yeah. Call down, which is actually a call up.
Naomi? Has she been on TV lately?
Wasn't there rumors that Naomi was going to get like a big push or something?
Something like that. Semi, you know, those.
Maybe it was on NXT.
Maybe it was. We'll probably find out at Takeover. The date was Takeover, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's Takeover.
So, Kyle O'Reilly had a little video, which I don't know when his babyface turn happened, but this was a very effective video.
That was this video. That was what, this was the babyface turn.
I guess the babyface turn was when he stopped somebody from attacking somebody. Who did he stop from attacking?
He stopped Ciampa from attacking Atlas, and then "Get up, idiot."
I was like, is it Dane and Spud? Because there's so many parking lot attacks on the show. I'm just like, who did he attack? Who's there? So that, I guess, was his babyface turn, or the kind of Phantom Undisputed Era babyface turn that wasn't a babyface turn, just for the match against, Pat McAfee. Mm. This was a very effective video building up Kyle O'Reilly.
Good stuff. This is, like, the prime target stuff is very clearly, like, it's Road 2. But it's like, now they're the ones doing Road 2, and AEW have stopped doing Road 2.
Listen, TNA did these videos back in like 2010.
Bring back Spin Cycle.
They were the Before the Bell series. You can watch them all on YouTube. TNA were the trendsetters here. They never put them on television either, which is always deeply frustrating because some of them were actually like really good. It's like, this is such a better job building your pay-per-view than your actual television does. Why aren't you putting this on television? So the TNA are the trendsetters of producing good content that you don't actually use.
Bring back Spin Cycle.
If you were asking JB to do that in NXT.
Yeah, no, I wanted an Impact.
NXT Spin Cycle.
Oh my god, that'd be kind of sick though. Wait, Talking Smack was just Spin Cycle.
Yeah, pretty much. Have you ever watched the Spin Cycle presidential debate?
I went through a phase when I watched like every Spin Cycle I could find on YouTube, so I'm sure I have, but I just don't remember it off the top of my head.
Because it's Road Dogg and AJ Styles on the side of the Republicans.
No! Are you sure that's who they're representing?
And Mick Foley and Booker T on the side of like the Democrats. Though actually, in the end, Road Dogg says he will vote for Obama because there's racism in America, which he's like, look, I accept there's
which
racism
in America.
Which
now he wouldn't believe in.
No, he wouldn't. Apparently, he's probably one of those people who thought Obama fixed racism by just being elected, so... it's fun times. Mick Foley's very condescending to AJ as well. It's kind of funny.
AJ is definitely a QAnon guy.
There's a promo on Impact Television after Obama won the election where it's like, AJ, you and I have our political differences. I know you're upset that Obama won.
So why would you bring that up on television?
And Mick has just thrown him under the bus for supporting McCain.
Which, to be fair, at every opportunity in WWE, they did the same thing. Like, Daniel Bryan's like, he's a flat earther.
It's quite funny.
And like, even though I think Daniel Bryan's anti-vax, so it's like, he throwing stones in glass houses.
Tegan Nox has torn her ACL, which is very sad.
I like how we're just going to alienate a whole group of people on this podcast now.
Listen, if QAnon and anti-vaxxers don't want to listen to our podcast, I'm quite happy with that.
All right, frankly. You bring a valid point. You bring a valid point.
Like, legitimately, I believe in like mentioning that kind of stuff every so often, just in case we have those kind of listeners.
Just to establish.
Upset them and drive them away.
Yeah.
Just to establish that is not the kind of audience we want, and you can go away.
We probably like cut them all off when we went like 30 minutes on us yelling about Velveteen Dream being on the show still.
That's true. It's actually very funny that like the people who are like, oh, snowflakes, are the people who get most upset with people who like disagree
Hell
with
yeah.
their political
Sick
opinions.
2017 Netflix bit.
But like, no, it's funny because it's The Rock's Instagram that was just like, look at all these people.
No, The Rock's
dead. I don't
watch
comedy specials. But, like, look at all these people who are furious at The Rock. Like, furious at him for supporting Joe Biden. Like,
I'm burning... My kids are burning their Rock DVDs.
Well, that's a freaking Russian troll copy-pasta.
But yeah, it's the best. It's the best.
But, yeah, it's just like, guys, stop it. Stop being babies. You're such babies.
Mm.
Johnny was hilarious.
Speaking
Johnny's
of
like
babies.
Yeah, Johnny was like, Tegan Knox deserved to tear her ACL because she broke our TV.
That's an amazing bit. It's so good.
Johnny is the best. Johnny's the best thing on the show. I love Johnny.
It's like, I love him, and it's like, I just, it's such a weird mix of like, Johnny's on the screen, I go, ah, oh, look at this dork. And then I'm like, ah, he's the best guy.
Oh, Johnny. Cameron Grimes came to the ring and he was like, I'm gonna give people an opportunity. And Ariel Dominguez of MLW fame, he's in Team Filthy, isn't he?
I don't know. Wasn't
I think
he like,
he's Tom Lawler adjacent, though. He's friends of Tom Lawler.
Joey Pistachio,
the second guy who came out who got beaten up. Yes.
No, I think Ariel was Joey Pistachio.
Oh, was that his name?
Yeah. And then they called the next guy Joey Strong.
Camera and Trevor Lee's beating up a bunch of Joeys.
Yeah, and then my man came out. Oh, you know your boy was so hyped for this. I jumped. I was like, my man Rich Holland's coming out, and he doesn't have a billy club. He's just headbutting fools.
Is Rich Holland a babyface?
He is to me.
Well, he is here. He's beating up Cameron Grimes. It's like the man who admitted to murdering people last week is a babyface. What are we
yeah,
doing?
But I think he got DQ'd though, so he's going too far.
Oh, right.
He's yeah. too enamored with the violence. Much like when he played rugby.
Cameron Grimes did not line him up as his opponent, Liam. This is very unfair to Cameron. The ex-TNA people on the show had a very bad time.
Well, Cameron won.
That's true. He did win by DQ.
He beat Ridge Holland in a singles match.
Get out of here, Ridge. Ridge is useless. Cameron Whoa, Grimes,
what the
real
fuck?
Star.
Nah, send Ridge to Big Japan as a part of the NXT Japan deal.
Which is definitely still a thing.
Go wrestle Sekimoto and get real good.
Austin Theory was upset that he was not in the Eliminator deal last week, and he was like, Kyle, you've done nothing in your career, and I'm super young, and I've been on WrestleMania, and then I was immediately called back down to NXT. This is my wonderful career, Kyle. Why aren't you living up to that?
Well, yeah, that's the heat, bro. That's
in typical WWE fashion, being on WrestleMania is better than everything Kyle ever did.
That's true. Who's Kyle ever beat?
I did like in Kyle's promo earlier, he was like, Finn, you know, when I was in the Indies, he was moved to Japan. When I got to Japan, he moved to NXT. When I got to NXT, he moved to the main roster. It's like, I never got Finn. Even though Finn was never really on the US Indies, but that's neither here nor there.
But he could have just been like, yo, you're ducking me.
I'm surprised they never wrestled, because they would have been on, like, Red Pro shows together. So, like, they could have been on those shows.
They might have just missed each other.
Were they on the same show? I think they were on a show I would that. I went to. I didn't win.
Well,
at.
Like,
what is my command?
Bella wrestled Cole on one of those shows.
Yeah, so like, definitely could have wrestled Kyle, and like, they were definitely on the same shows, but they were never booked together, which is a shame.
I don't think Kyle was as big of a name then yet, like, because that was like just before like, or just at the start of Red Dragon, really.
But that was like Best of the Super Junior Finals era.
They weren't at Best of the Super Juniors at the same time.
No, but like that's the level of star Kyle was at the time.
I think that was like Kyle's second best at the Super Junior.
I'm pretty sure that the Kushida and Kyle rematch was on a show that Finn was at. Was it? Am I imagining this?
It could have been, but I think maybe Finn had already bounced.
Oh no, he was there. Yeah, he had already bounced. Never mind. Ignore me. I'm mixing up my shows.
That's why I'm here, Lawmaster.
Here before. Yeah, when I saw that Kyle and Kushida rematch. It's a good match to see live, Liam.
Yeah, that match was like one of I might have been my match of the year that year. The best of the Super Juniors match. I really like that match.
They should do that match again in WWE NXT.
For the NXT title. When O'Reilly beats Bella.
Because she had a little package where he's like, I'm vicious Iron Man.
Yeah, it was pretty cool though. I liked it.
He's angry and he's going to kill people. Good.
Yeah.
Then he squashed Tony Nese.
Yeah, and I actually really liked this squash too. I like Kushida just like wrenching on Nese's arm throughout it, and Nese was doing that. Nese, like in this, you know, 2 minutes that they were given, Nese was doing some good arm selling whenever he was going for his power moves. Was this my favorite match of the show? Maybe.
I quite like this little 1-2 punch of like, here's a video of why you should care about this guy, and then a squash to reinforce it. You know, it's like real solid basic storytelling, but it works.
I like that it like counted as his entrance.
Unfortunately, Velveteen Dream didn't show up, but who cares about that?
And then what else happened?
Cameron Grimes, very upset, and he ran into Dexter Lumis, who actually ran through my head when I was watching the video. I was like, maybe that's a Dexter Lumis return, the surprise one. But no, Dexter Lumis just pops up staring at Cameron Grimes.
What a pervert.
Adam Cole in the ring, shouting. Oh, yeah, the other thing about that Kyle video I have to get back to. Cole's definitely turning on him, 100%.
Yeah, they baby-faced O'Reilly so hard in that.
And Cole's and O'Reilly's like undisputed ear is about family. It's because it's real. And it's like,
yeah, we're brothers. You know, we wash each other's hands. Like they're really hamming it up here.
Yeah, he's turning on him. Cole interrupted by what's his name? Austin Theory. Cole beats Austin Theory.
This is a bad match. I thought it was really boring.
Again, it's Austin Theory. Again, my critical brain just cannot turn. I actually try. I like turn to the screen and I'm like, all right, focus on this match, and I'm like, oh, Austin Theory, and then I zone out again.
Well, my thing was just I thought the match was really boring above all else. Like it was just it's nice to see Cole on wrestling matches on NXT TV because I feel like that never happens, but this was not the match that I wanted.
Kate and Carter defeat Jai Lee in another one of their matches that they're having that I don't care about because they're not making me care about them
because they're getting like 3 minutes.
It's just every time. It's just like, here's a 3 minute match between one of these four people. Go and again. Or a tag. Rinse and repeat.
And we'll swear, do the tag. There's a women's tag title thing coming, maybe. I swear.
Carter and Catanzaro.
Well, I mean, that's what they were kind of insinuating the last time these two wrestled. They were like, hey, there could be a tag team title opportunity in the future for the. And then they didn't bring it up again.
Shawn Michaels was in the ring with Finn Balor and Kyle O'Reilly for a segment I mostly remember for Kyle doing an Irish accent.
Oh, I wrote it down so I could attempt it.
Oh, there you go, sorry.
So I could attempt Kyle's attempt at an Irish accent.
His Finn impression. He's stealing our bits.
Yeah, I did think that. He said, he's a good Irish boy, this one.
Diddly eye, mate.
Oh, diddly, diddly, diddly dat. That's pretty good, right?
Yeah, solid. See, well done.
Because I wasn't even doing Finn. I was doing Kyle doing Finn.
You were doing Kyle doing Finn, which
it was a little more higher pitched. Yeah, I was doing. It was an Australian doing a Canadian doing an Irishman.
Yes.
Yeah.
You got all the nationalities right, including your own.
That was the one I was most concerned about.
I much preferred the package. I thought this was all right.
You know what? People gave WWE a lot of flack for having for firing all these people during a global pandemic.
Right.
But clearly, they're going through some financial struggles because they couldn't afford a table for this segment.
They had to stand.
No, they weren't even standing. They had two metal beams with a piece of cardboard on top of it and then, like, something over it.
It's a debate, like the Trump debate. It was the day before. I'm into the match. I'm excited for the match, but I didn't think this face-to-face was particularly interesting.
I thought Bella did a good job of doing the classic wrestling, you know, put your opponent over without burying them. I think that he did a really... He, like, perfected that.
He didn't do any, like, snakes in the back. No. He didn't do anything, like, your push is over. He didn't, I'm kicking you back to the mid-card.
No, he's very complimentary of O'Reilly, which sort of further shows that he's probably going babyface.
And losing.
Yes. I did like that Carl, like, had this cockiness to him where he's like, you're a 20-year vet, so what? I'm 15-year vet. What does that 5-year difference mean?
That 5 years is Universal Championships, buddy.
Boy, that 5 years is WrestleManias.
NXT champion, Universal champion, IWGP Junior Heavyweight champion, all the achievements you didn't make in your career there, Kyle.
IC champ. You've never been IC champ, Kyle.
Kyle has basically followed the career path of Finn to a T, but hasn't had the same success. So he's probably, he has a point.
in the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up thinking, maybe I can pull a Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card, but with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com, the only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now, when I buy Slab Packs at Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. I was able to open an Arena Club Slab Pack, and I'll be honest, it was a lot better than what you normally do. Say you go to a card show, and there's a random innocuous brown bag of cards, and yeah, you can open it and look, it's going to be junk. You know what I mean? Like, you know what you're probably going to get in those. Maybe you find that fun, and sometimes I do. Sometimes I like just opening up cards and saying, ah, hey, look at some random cards or whatever. But if you're really in this game to find value and find particular cards, it sucks to have to buy these mystery packs, and it ends up being, you know, almost nothing, you know, nothing of value. Not with Arena Club. You get a display, again, of all available cards, hit rates, grading, so you know that when you're opening up the slab pack, you are going to get something valuable. You are getting something good. And Arena Club, in addition to having those great slab packs we just talked about, is also a marketplace for card collecting, buying, trading, selling, displaying, all that sort of stuff. But those Arena Club slab packs, man, they are revolutionizing the repack game with transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed in your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling, and you can have them officially graded by Arena Club as well. So again, setting these things off, it's going to be officially graded by Arena Club. And the Arena Club grading process is accurate, fast, and transparent, with full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. So whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform that you have to check out. So right now, I've got a special offer here for Voices of Wrestling Network listeners. You can get 10% off of your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Now, that's a crazy offer. That's 10% off a $400 slab pack. $40 off right there. 10% off your first purchase. No matter what that purchase is, 10% off. Off. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet, arenaclub.com/VOWnet for 10% off your first purchase on Arena Club. And we thank them for sponsoring the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. What's going on, guys? This is Rich from the Flagship Podcast here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. If I could have a moment of your time, I'd like to tell you about one of our sponsors, Eufy Video Lock. Eufy Video Lock is a smart lock, a 2K camera, and a doorbell, all 3-in-1, offering you triple security. So you can have everything in one device rather than installing many pieces on your front door. But it's not just for security. The Eufy Video Lock is also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys, and you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated cameras. Some other great features we love about the Eufy Video Lock is it is easy to install and set up with just a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling required. Keyless entry, no more fumbling for keys when your hands are full. You never have to worry about kids losing keys or passing among renters. You also have 0.3 second fingerprint recognition and 1 second unlocking. Again, 0.3 seconds, it's going to recognize your fingerprints, and in 1 second, it's going to unlock. And with the AI self-learning chip embedded, the more you use it, the more accurate it will be. Also, no battery anxiety. You have a rechargeable battery in there that could last around 4 months, and you will get a low battery notification before it runs out. Passcode unlocking, a remote control with a 2K clear sight, see who's at your door, and control from anywhere through the Eufy app. With enhanced night vision, you can have optimized view even in the evening. You can also secure your package delivery by view and two-way audio, and then best of all, no monthly fee. A bunch of other brands out there are going to charge you a monthly fee. You have your recordings locally, and you never have to pay for storage. Customer service, Eufy's got you handled as well. They are on standby for you 24/7, so you can enjoy a worry-free experience with an 18-month warranty, all backed by their professional customer service team. Contact them anytime by telephone, email, or live chat. Personally, as a homeowner, I love my Eufy Video Lock. I have the ability to see what's going on when I'm not home, when packages have arrived, and really the thing I love the most about it, the ease of being able to lock and unlock my doors without having to fumble with my keys and reach in my pocket or wait, no, crap, they're in my backpack, all that sort of stuff. All this is happening while my dogs are barking at me. You know what? Not anymore with the UV video lock. I touch it, 0.3 second fingerprint recognition, 1 second, door is unlocked. Much, much easier. So if you want to jump on board with Eufy Video Lock, search Eufy Video Lock. That is E-U-F-Y Video Lock. Again, that's Eufy Video Lock, E-U-F-Y Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/videolock to see how you can gain complete control of your door.
He had bigger success in America up until being signed.
Yeah, but that's because Finn never worked America.
Good on him.
He was smart. He's just like, I'm going straight to Japan.
He should continue to not do that.
Go back to Japan, Finn. Save us. Main event, Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae defeated Damian Priest and Io Shirai.
Whatever.
Yeah, again.
Such a nothing match.
A perfectly okay, forgettable match. And then Candice hit Shirai with a backstabber after, and they pulled.
Sure. I was just going to say, like, the best thing of this was obviously the Damian Priest, Io Shirai tag entrance.
Oh, yes. What a team.
Where Priest gets his dumb arrow thing and shoots it at the thing, and then it cuts into Io's theme and she comes out and they run. That's good shit.
They should be mixed tag team champions. Yeah. They should introduce those belts.
God, I hate WWE's, like, faux intergender.
Mm-hmm.
Where they have to, like, oh, they tag, they have to swap into the other people, and then, like, it always drags the match to a halt.
Yeah, it's a mixed tag, Liam. It's very important, not intergender tag.
It's just, I said faux intergender. It's,
different
yeah.
rules.
Hmm. Oh, sorry, just going back to the O'Reilly Finn thing, because I just remembered it. I really didn't like the background music in it. It made it feel very, like, performative.
Anytime they do anything like that and they put background music into it, I'm just like, no, just what's compelling here should not be the background music. It should not be, it's these two characters trying to build up a title match. That's what's compelling. You get the nonsense out of there.
Hmm. But overall, pretty solid show. Just not very interesting.
I would have said it did a good job of getting me to care about the main event of the takeover, and the rest of the show was just kind of a solid show.
And Kushida, I think, had a bit of a boost from this show too,
but he's wrestling dreams, so there's only so much you can do there.
But eventually he'll wrestle someone like good.
Hopefully. That brings us to AEW Dynamite, which opened. Oh no, do we have to do our bit? Do you have your book?
This is a bitless podcast.
All right.
I mean, I'm over bits, man. We're not here for bits. We're here for hard analytical discussion.
Deep discussion of how Crash Bandicoot is back.
Crash is back. Oh, should we talk about the Smash reveal?
Oh yeah,
should
Minecraft
that be
our
midpoint?
If you're too cool for Minecraft Steve in Smash, like, get out of here. Well, he looks so goofy. It's
first
great.
Thing is, it's like, a more than a game, Smash is the video game Hall of Fame, and Minecraft definitely deserves a spot in that. Like, just it's the biggest game ever. Like, it deserves to be in there in some way. And also, it's Smash. Literally anyone can be in there. It's fine. It's fine.
Piranha Plant is a character.
Yeah. Like, I think look, people were hyped for Crash. I think people wanted it to be Crash. I think people... Well, there's another game. Like, people may have expected some Monster Hunter Rise thing, because these are both games coming out. I will forever think it's Dante.
Yeah, people are always like, oh, this Crash is out tomorrow. It's going to be Crash. One, Crash isn't on Switch yet. So, like, Nintendo are not going to put a character into Smash to co-promote a game currently on Xbox One and PlayStation 4. Are people out of their minds?
Persona 5.
But, like that was the promote Persona 5. That was the put a character in Smash. You know, it wasn't like, oh, Persona 5's out tomorrow. Persona
that
5's
was,
out
hey,
for
we,
four,
we gotta get SMT
years,
in our game, in our video game Hall of Fame.
Yeah, so they put a cool character in. That's the way it works. They're like, who could we put in this game? The only time it's promotional is when it's self-promotional. When it's, we're going to put a Fire Emblem character in here so we can sell copies of Fire Emblem.
I wonder what, like, the relation to, like, hey, we're putting the new Fire Emblem character in the game to selling more copies of the game. I wonder what that, like, actual math looks like.
Well, people widely, like, attribute the success, or, like, the revival of Fire Emblem to the fact that Fire Emblem characters were in Smash. Not, like, any individual game, but, like, the series as a whole. That, like, that's what introduced so many people to the Fire Emblem characters.
Helped keep it, like, its relevancy, too.
Yeah, so if there was like if there was Advance Wars characters in Smash, you might get the same thing. Or there is an F-Zero character in Smash, but that doesn't help apparently. Captain Falcon just lives on his own in Smash now. He doesn't race. He just fights. He just Falcon punches things.
Hell yeah.
So yeah, I'm pro Minecraft Steve. I'm pro any, like, the people are like, it's a waste of a spot in Smash. It's like, again, as you said, it's the most popular video game of all time. And it looks like a very well-implemented character who looks like, it's Sakurai. So of course it's a well-implemented character. He never half-says it. The man is a psychopath.
I was a big fan of like him being like, yeah, Nintendo kept going, hey, you want to put Minecraft in it? You want to put Minecraft in Smash? And he's like, I don't know how.
And people have been like, he didn't want to do it because he didn't want the character in Smash. He's like, he didn't want to do it because he didn't think he could do it.
Yeah, it's like the opposite. You're trying to say like he was disparaging Smash. He was like Minecraft. He was literally going, I want to do it right, and I don't know how. It's too much.
It's too hard.
He was giving too much respect to Minecraft.
Yeah, and people were like, he didn't want it in there. It's like, they showed screens of his actual Minecraft game where he was building ridiculous things during the thing. He does not hate Minecraft.
I wish his server was like free to play for everyone to go and look at.
To go mess around with Sakurai's server. He probably doesn't want his things ruined.
No, I'm saying like, because you can make it so that like, people can just come and see. But like they can't do anything, so it's like he could have like Sakurai World.
Because they're revealing, they're doing the character reveal on the 3rd before Minecraft Live, so maybe he will. Maybe he'll like, all right, guys, go play my Minecraft game.
Hell yeah, and then they can announce Dante from the Devil May Cry series.
Look, Dante is like a very, he's like the biggest Japanese character.
He's getting in there.
Like the two big Japanese characters left that aren't in the game are Dante and Sora.
Both are going to be in there eventually. No, Sora's making it in there. Disney's going to bow down one day to the superior Sakurai.
But like, Nintendo, is there... Oh no, Mega Man's in the game. I was going to go, is there a Capcom character in the game? Mega Man, of course.
Yeah.
But like, Nintendo and Capcom have a very good relationship. Capcom constantly released their games on Switch. Like, they're going to put Dante in Smash.
Dante's making it eventually. It's like... it's just a matter of when. And there's a good chance, like, Virgil's an Echo Fighter. Let's be real.
Yeah, or they might do the thing where he's an alternate costume.
Mm.
Like, Dante will have Virgil colors.
I think there's some things you gotta do with Virgil to differentiate the character. I think honestly, like maybe some of Sakurai's, because I'm sure the name Dante has been brought up to Sakurai at some point, and I'm sure he's like, "Hey man, the fighting in that game's pretty complicated. How can I accurately represent a character action fighting game in this game?"
And the last time they did it, it broke the game. Yeah. They put Bayonetta in the game, and Bayonetta was super broken.
Yeah, it's gonna take like there's a good chance like Dante was brought up and like has been like included in like quotation marks for like a year, and they're still just like, fuck, I don't know, man.
He's too fast. He does too many things.
He has guns and sword and demon, and we have to get a devil trigger in there, and we have to.
Because some fighting games would just be like, oh, he's just the guy who has these three attacks and that's fine. And like Sakurai's like, no, we must include all of the mechanics of the core game.
That's the
in
thing
this
is like,
game.
Terry was like a love letter to like is KOF? Yeah, KOF. He was like a love letter to the genre because they were like, yo, man, look at here's like Terry moves from the most obscure side games. we're chucking it in there.
And like Dragon Quest, they included like an entire MP system just for the Dragon Quest character. And like, well, they're allowing
Final Fantasy.
The Minecraft character to build blocks.
Yeah, that's insane. They changed the maps for him.
Yeah.
For Steve.
Every single map in the game had to be redesigned, or at least tweaked, or however that works, so that blocks can be placed on them for Minecraft Steve.
It's amazing. Sakurai is literally the best.
He's a psychopath. He's a genius. What a man. He's just like, what a crazy person. I don't even like Smash. I have the character passes. I mess around with them. I'm like, oh, that's cool. I listen to the music, and that's about it. But, like, it's worth it.
I don't own Smash. Like, I have no intention of ever buying the game, except maybe, like, when Dante comes out, I'll probably buy it. But, like, I don't even own the game, and I'm still one of these people like, oh my god, there's a Smash announcement. I need to see it.
AEW, Darby Allin should be in Smash, but he defeated Ricky Starks. He smashed Ricky Starks on this episode of AEW Dynamite, and what a segue. Look at that, professional podcaster.
That's pretty good. God, this was a... I wasn't thinking about this match at all, because in the prelude, there was an introduction in one of Darby's little cool, like, black and white, edgy film student videos that he does. And rapper, writer, producer JPEG Mafia was in it, who was my favorite musician.
Cool. I've never heard of him.
I don't blame you. It's not, he's not, like, massive or anything. But I was watching this and then seeing my favorite musician on my screen on AEW was very weird for me. So I was kind of like watching the whole Starks Darby match going, huh, that was weird. Why was JPEG on there? That's so insane. Like, so I kind of was distracted by it throughout the match.
Darby has cool friends.
He has the coolest friends.
He's a cool guy. I'm jealous of how cool Darby Allin is.
Darby Allin's a real cool dude. And
like, Darby's 27. He's a year younger than me, and he is much cooler. No offense, Liam. He has much cooler friends.
That's true. It was really interesting, and I made my day. And it's not a surprise, because, like, JPEG has, like, 35 different, like, wrestling-related lines in his songs. He has one about Darby Allin.
So, has he ever referenced TNA in any of his songs?
He's referenced AJ.
WWE New Japan AJ or TNA AJ?
New Japan AJ.
Then I'm very upset. He's a bad rapper.
I had a list of them, because I thought it'd be fun. His producer tag on his songs is You Think You Know Me, so...
That's not a TNA reference either!
No, I'm just saying, like, for a reference. I gotta find one in here. There's a current Rich One reference. That doesn't count. Matt Hardy, My Gun, You're Getting Broken. That was TNA Matt Hardy.
I respect him now. Well done, JPEG Mafia. We're friends.
Woohoo! I'm trying to see if there's any other ones while I'm here. Oh, there's a Braden Walker reference.
Oh, no, that upsets me. You know my stance on Braden Walker and how people have bastardized the legacy of Chris Harris with Braden Walker, even though Chris Harris is a damn good wrestler.
He said, I'm not no alpha male, I'm Carly Rae, you're Braden Walker.
Hey, Carly Rae is technically... All of those are TNA references. There's Monty Brown, Carly Rae, and Chris Harris.
Carly so I'm Rae, very upset. But all right.
Sure. Oh, Carly? No, no, I'm sticking with Carly Rae, nonetheless. I've misheard it, and that's what I'm hearing it as.
Sure.
It's like too many limes.
Yeah, exactly. You have to understand, like, this was, like, such a weird moment of, like, worlds colliding here for me. But I was very happy about it.
If you would like to know, we rarely talk about ratings on this show, but in the quarter hours, FTR lost 160,000 viewers. gigantic jump, so...
Was it, like, because of NBA, though?
Don't worry about it. It's because of FTR.
Because, like, didn't, like, Starks and Darby do, like, over a million or something? Like, they went crazy for that.
Yeah, 1.026
That's called the Peggy bump.
There you go. Yeah, people are like, JPEG Mafia's on Dynamite. Gotta tune in to TNT.
It was very, like... It was just very weird to see JPEG Mafia cutting a promo on Taz.
Yeah, they should do that match.
They should. Bring JPEG and Darby teaming up.
Taz should suplex JPEG Mafia.
I would be elated.
It was a really good opener, by the way. You weren't paying attention. You were too distracted by JPEG Mafia.
I don't remember the match. I'm gonna have to go back and watch it soon, because I was just like, this shit's crazy. But I like Ricky and I like Darby, so I give them the benefit of the doubt.
Well, you were too distracted to realize it was a good match, but sure.
I was staring at the screen and I was just going, wow, Peggy.
Cody came out, cut a big promo. He's like, do I accept this challenge? No. And he's like, no regrets, no looking back. I accept.
No
regrets. I think they should have ended the promo there. I'm tired of the pull-aparts, but they did a pretty solid pull-apart, but still. And Cody's big line where he came back and he's like, by no,
dumb.
I mean no regrets.
It was
great. I loved it.
No, it was dumb. I didn't like it.
then he did the pull-apart. And they do the big-ass brawl too much on this show. I think that's my problem.
Okay, so I'm going to be negative on an AEW segment, and you're going to be positive. What a twist turn
of
fate.
Well, I was 50-50. I didn't. I liked half of it.
I didn't like any of it. I didn't like the Cody promo. I thought it was brr and generic. I thought the pull-aparts are stupid when there's no crowd to go crazy for it.
Mm.
And Brandy coming up was so bad. Brandy was so
bad. Yeah. She did her big dive.
And then Nyla Rose jumped over, and then everyone just pumped each other.
Why did Nyla Rose get involved?
Because they realized that they haven't booked Nyla Rose in forever.
So they have to just put her in doing something?
Yeah. They should, like, make Nyla... I don't know. I was going to say put her with Anna Jay, but that doesn't make much sense.
Then she'd have to go into Dark Order. Yes. Yeah. Put Nyla in the Dark Order. Join the Dark Order. Put Vicky Guerrero in the Dark Order. Leader of the Dark Order, Vicky Guerrero.
I'd be dead for the Vicky Guerrero, John Silver, BTE skits. John Silver has gotten over. He's getting TV time because of BTE, and if you can say what you want about BTE, but John Silver is getting TV time because of BTE, so it's good.
the TV time in which he's usually just pushed over by somebody.
Yeah, and it rules. He's getting the push.
Literally. FDR backstage. FDR are like, you know those Russian super spies who have like the Winter Soldier from Captain America Winter Soldier, where they have the, like the programming put into their brain.
Yeah.
Except that it's all WWE nonsense that they just can't get out, so they say words like championship opportunity unironically. It's like, we're giving championship opportunities. It's like, oh, you poor guys, you can't escape it.
Is that the work though? That they're using the WWE verbiage to make you go WWE verbiage.
So there's the second character on the show to do that after Brody Lee?
Yeah. Hell yeah, it is.
Young Bucks came up.
Sucked.
The Young Bucks suck. FTR suck. Hurting Tony Schiavone sucks. I'm not a fan of any of this.
Like, even if this match like ends up being the best tag team match ever, it's like, okay, but the journey there was bad.
It's one of those things that it's Miro. It's Miro 2.0. It's like, this is a layup.
I like
and the Revival. And the two things, like, this feud has been built for years. It's a match people want to see. And I get they have to do this weird dance about it because of COVID. But this is not the dance to do if you're trying to avoid doing this match.
I don't know, man. I don't even want to talk about FTR. They just made me sad.
Speaking of FTR, they wrestled... SCU. The match was actually pretty good.
I don't know. I was probably still thinking about JPEG Mafia, to be honest.
A little on the long side, maybe, but pretty good. FTR have
the
gone
AEW
from,
special.
Yeah, FTR have gone from the team that doesn't want to defend the tag titles. Like, they were like, oh, Luchasaurus.
So stupid. I don't get this.
Yeah, Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy need to earn a title shot, or sorry, championship opportunity. And now they're like, now we're giving everybody a title shot. And but, I'm like,
I thought the whole point of the brush with greatness was that they had to beat them to earn a title shot.
That's what I thought too last week. I was like, they're not title matches. They're giving people chances to wrestle them and earn title shots. Except no, they're just title matches.
So AEW cannot not do an open challenge gimmick. It's just too difficult for them.
It's like they're sharks in the water that have to keep moving forward. And the moving forward equivalent here is people doing open challenges for title shots.
Yeah. But I gotta admit, I do think it was pretty cool that it was like first AEW Tag Team Champions versus current AEW Tag Team Champions. Which is a thing that can actually happen now. Like, AEW's been around that long.
A whole year. We've had a whole year of Tag Team Champions.
Wow. Well, have we? Did they do tag? No, they did the tournament, so not a full year of Tag Team Champions.
Yeah, it's Champions crowned, I think, was it 2 weeks in? 2 or 3?
Yeah. Then we get the announcement.
Yes, we have a tournament coming up in which there will be 8 men competing for number one contendership.
I'm so excited for this fucking tournament.
The 3 people announced so far are Jungle Boy, Rey Fenix, and Kenny Omega. Hangman Page was on commentary for the FTR and SCU match, was very taken aback that Kenny would be in the singles tournament and he's his tag team friend.
That's your finals right there, baby.
Surely. Surely.
And, like, I think the funny thing was, like, we were wondering, like, how are they going to get to this Hangman Kenny match? And then it's like, oh, that's how. They're going to do a tournament for a number one contendership. Because number one contendership matches can be on pay-per-view. What a unique concept.
Private Party made their entrance. Jericho defeated Isaiah Cassidy. And this match format that I'm kind of getting tired of like, star wrestles, lower card guy, Valiant Effort loses. They're doing the same things too many times.
Yeah. I think maybe AEW is still in the mindset of, it's COVID. You know what I mean? I don't feel like they ever really escaped that mindset of not wanting to give away big things on TV during COVID, which I think now that we're 8 months into it, it's a bit like, all right, okay, here we go. More of this, more of this, more of this. Like, they're just refusing to give away this big stuff until there's a crowd.
It's a tad problematic, given we have to watch and review this television show every week.
But it's a weird one.
It was a perfectly good match, though, I suppose.
Yeah, I like Isaiah.
After the match, Jericho got in a brawl with Luther, setting up a tag match next week.
I was like, you know, Jericho demanded. He's like, I have to work with Luther, damn it.
For the 30th. Just do the singles match. Get freaking Serpentico and Hager out of here.
And do like a death match.
Yeah, let him do a blood brawl.
Give me Lucha Brawler Jericho having his Naito and Kenny matches against Luther. Let's do it.
Japanese deathmatch legend Luther.
Yeah, taking DDTs and pile drivers on Japanese tables. They should fly Japanese tables in for this match.
I think you probably get hard tables in America.
No, I demand that it be authentic.
Authentically Japanese, you'd be able to tell the difference.
And just like a Jericho Japanese match, they should also have the crowd not react. Just for that real 30-year anniversary flavor.
Jericho is the person that perpetuated that myth, right?
Yeah, he was the one who wrote, you know, they're respectful in Japan, they only really clap for spots, and it's like, no, you just weren't over.
Yeah, you didn't get over, so you created this myth to protect yourself for not getting over in Japan.
Which, to be fair, hell of a work. The man perpetuated an entire myth about a wrestling culture just to defend him not being over. You have to give him credit for that.
Watch 90s All Japan. Watch current New Japan. Those crowds go nuts. How can you believe it?
Watch any All Japan women's. Like, watch any company from that era. You don't need to like even watch the big ones where the big reactions were happening. Like, there was reactions in every company.
Kip Sabian and Miro were discussing their bachelor party when Billy Mitchell, the disgrace... Though, actually, he's got his world record back. It was taken from him and then given back.
He's a cheat. I watched one documentary on him and I decided that I didn't like him.
He doesn't... Yeah, he's a weird-looking guy.
Wow.
Listen, I'm also a weird-looking guy, so maybe that's a compliment.
I'm traditionally handsome, so...
There you go. Yeah, so Billy Mitchell showed up, said something. They were in an arcade. Miro was mad.
Miro's just full gamer. Like, that's what his gimmick is. I thought he was going to be like douchey rich kid kind of, but he's just gamer.
You should go to like Toxic Gamer. You should be like mad about Steve being in Minecraft.
He should cut a promo about Steve being in Minecraft. He should get mad that like women are getting any matches on the show.
The gamer stereotype is so depressing.
The gamer stereotype just being racists, sexists, man children.
Oh, it's the worst.
But it's like, it's a completely earned stereotype, so you can't even be mad at it.
It's not a lie. It's completely true. It's it became a stereotype for a very good reason. Orange Cassidy beat 10.
Press 10.
Yeah, press 10, Vance.
I like Press Quick 10 match. Vance. I'm a Press 10 Squash. Vance guy.
After the match, MJF went into Jericho's locker room, gave them all jackets, except they didn't have a jacket for Sammy Guevara, for which he berated Wardlow.
So, I assume the thing here is going to be that, like, MJF ends up taking over and Sammy and Jericho split off together?
Yeah, so Sammy goes baby. Or maybe Sammy goes babyface and MJF just takes his spot?
I think MJF is leading whatever group he's in.
Yeah, so he's trying to create division. But even the freaking LAX with MJF is still one of those things where it's like, no!
Maybe he just ends up taking Hager. And then Jericho has a babyface group with Sammy and Wardlow.
There we go. That's the ace group right there.
I'm into that group, goddamn. A Wardlow-Sammy Guevara tag team would rule. Wardlow would throw Sammy Guevara into a double moonsault for a finish.
Yeah, I'm trying. It's basically like the LAX combo, like big man, small man.
Hmm. I was gonna say, speaking of homicide,
well, we still have the women's match, Liam. Are you gonna ignore Britt Baker? Is it her triumphant return?
When Britt came out, I just went, oh.
She wrestled Red Velvet. A graphic came up on the screen saying she has been top 5 singles ranking for 46 weeks.
She's been dead.
She's been injured since May. And not only that, Liam, she had 2 matches while she was injured. There was a 3-on-1 handicap match in which she lost, and there was the tooth and nail match in which she lost.
How is she top... Where is Swole?
She has been ranked top 5 for 46 weeks despite being injured since May and losing 2 matches while she was injured.
Where's Swole, damn it?
There is no greater, like that is the greatest reflection of the women's division imaginable. Like, you cannot sum it up better than that.
I think what also sums it up really well was, like, at the start when Yuka was on it for, like, 10 weeks and had, like, 3 matches and AEW hadn't been seen, was still in Japan.
Emi Sakura was taken off the roster page this week, so there's another hit to the women's division.
That sucks, because she's actually really good.
Which then brings us to our main event in which Eddie Kingston had The Butcher. Are we going to
announce the matches for next week?
Oh, yes. Jericho and Hager against Luther and Serpentico. Brian Cage against the Hobbs.
What if, like, they take out Serpentico and then Lance Storm comes out as Luther's tag partner?
Luther and Lance Storm against Jericho and Jake Hager. What a match. Replace Hager with Sammy as well to make it a good match.
That would actually... Right now I'm actually in on it.
Cage against Hobbs, because Cage tried to interfere in the opening match, but Hobbs stopped him, which we didn't mention. And Cody against Brody Lee for the TNT title in a dog collar match.
I'm pretty excited for Cage and Hobbs to fight for the AEW Never Openweight title.
Yeah. They should actually, legit, the FTW title should be that belt.
And it probably, like, it will be, I assume. Like, what are the other cage FTW matches that weren't squashes?
I saw on Thursday morning, I went on YouTube, and it's like, John Moxley, can John Moxley overcome the Butcher? And, like, for a split second, my mind was like, Eddie Kingston picked Necro Butcher?
That would be so much sicker. Also, it wouldn't be. Not in 2020, but maybe somehow if AEW was around in 2006.
It's just the Butcher, who was Eddie Kingston's choice for the John Moxley's opponent. In a title match? Why was this a title match?
Okay, so I feel like it wasn't a title match for a long time, and then, like, Kingston said it in the promo that it was a title match, and I was like, oh, wait, what? It's a title match?
This is the second week they've just thrown out a title match. Title matches should be important. Stop doing them willy-nilly every goddamn week.
I feel like it's probably they're padding Mox's title reign a little bit before he loses the belt.
They don't need to. And he's probably not. If Kenny and Hangman is the match, I don't even know who Mox is facing.
Kingston.
He's not.
I mean, he might be. I'm just saying, they've been doing a lot of building for this Kingston-Mox feud, even though this is an Archer feud.
Just Pentagon? Just do Pentagon. Yeah, rocket strap Pentagon.
Pentagon or Phoenix? Well, Phoenix is in the
Phoenix
tournament.
Is in the tournament. Yeah.
It would make a lot of sense. If Pentagon's not in the tournament, then yeah, do Pentagon Mox. I don't know. If Archer's still out, if Archer caught the COVID, maybe they delay that till the full year. You said you wanted them to build up to a big Kingston match. So there you go. Feels like they're building up to another one.
And that's Dynamite. Moxley and Butcher was fine. I don't remember much about it.
I know you're
super into the Butcher. You should have been happy.
Yeah, I was really happy for the Butcher. I mean, I had my hopes up for Homicide, so... Like, that was disappointing not to hear the Kill Bill theme kick in. But, the Butcher, you know, I'm a big Butcher fan. He wore the Butcher outfit, which I can always appreciate. And, they had a pretty good, like, you know, big dudes hitting each other match.
There we go. John's still champ. That's Dynamite. And also, okay show.
Yeah.
I don't know what show I preferred, Liam. What show did you prefer?
It's a good question. Maybe we should talk about the matches that we preferred first, and then from there we can base our choices.
Yes, match of the week I would probably go for... Darby and Starks. We'll talk about this next week, but like Darby is the biggest success story on Dynamite. He feels like an actual star. Good job.
If there was crowds, he would probably be like main eventer. JPEG Mafia versus Taz.
That hasn't happened yet. Please pick a wrestling contest. You may pick Kushida killing somebody.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Kushida killing somebody.
I enjoy your propensity for picking 2-minute squashes as your match of the week.
I really like 2-minute squashes. I like them when they're done well, which normally just means when Wardlow's doing them. Remember when Wardlow would wrestle on the shows?
Yeah. Remember when Wardlow would do anything but be berated by MJF? Maybe that's a full gear match. Do it. Do it. Turn Wardlow. Push him.
Remember when Wardlow faced Cody?
What a match. What an era. That was the last...
Take me back.
Yeah, that was the last COVID show, wasn't it? No.
That was before Revolution. The last one Revolution. Was, like, Park and Kenny.
No, we had a couple after that as well, because that was the Revolution go-home. We had a couple after Revolution, and then it shut down.
One day we'll have crowds back again, and AEW will feel like a big show again.
Show of the week! The poll went 85-15 to AEW, so...
Hey, I'm going NXT.
I liked the Kyle promo a lot.
Kushida's I feel like both good. Shows were a lot of talking and not a lot of wrestling.
As opposed to like 2 weeks ago when we had a lot of good wrestling. So swings and roundabouts, I guess.
Perhaps you could take a little bit from one and put it in the other and have a good show with both wrestling and talking.
You mean having an even balanced show that caters to many audiences? God forbid. I didn't like most of the talking on AEW, so... Yeah, NXT wins! 2 weeks in a row! Second time it has a 2-week streak in recent memory. NXT is winning a lot lately.
Good work, NXT.
Yeah, they turned it around with a takeover on Sunday, which we'll talk about next week.
Oh, do I have to watch it?
Yes, you have to watch Takeover. God damn it, Liam.
But takeovers are boring.
You, Finn and Kyle...
Yeah, right, you got me. Oh, breaking news, Garrett.
Oh, what's our breaking news?
All Japan Pro Wrestling have announced their brand new pro wrestling tee store.
Oh, very nice. Is there an Ishino t-shirt?
I already have one, I don't need another.
I don't have an Ishino t-shirt.
I'm a real fan, one. I got Wrestle 1 Ishino shirts.
Do you have a Masters, is it a Masters Suplex shirt?
No, it's Ishino in the Metallica font with like a big scary mummy man doing the rock signs on it.
I would like a Master of Suplex shirt.
I don't even know, does he do... I wanted his Wrestle 1 Goodbye shirt, but, like, it was only Japan. unfortunately. I looked into it and tried getting it, but Japan only. And now All Japan ruined him, so it's fine.
Well, there we go. I'll never find out where there is a shirt. You can follow us on Twitter at WarGamesPod if you'd like to vote in the poll. You can follow me on Twitter at Garrickin. You can follow Liam on Twitter at Larrikin. If you'd like more WWE television show coverage in your podcasting feed, you can listen to Shake Them Ropes. If you'd like more AEW coverage in your podcast feed, you can listen to Everything Elite. Thanks for listening, and bye bye.
Bye 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 bye